Okay, so recently I made a comment stating that the former leadership of our church did not claim gift aid, and at the time that statement was based on the information I had. However, I have since learned that there were indeed some who did claim gift aid through a third-party organization. I also suggest there was an amount that the church could have received through gift aid, and I realize now that it wouldn't have been as high as that. So I apologize for any confusion or misrepresentation this may have caused, and appreciate the efforts of those who serve faithfully in this area. Thank you. Great. Let's preach. I'll provide more answers moving forward, but all is good. Today I want to speak about stepping into greater glory. And I might say I was so nervous throughout the week because I prepared the message, and then on Friday evening, God told me not to preach it. I was like I've had some close calls so far, because I was thinking and overthinking until the point where God basically made it clear, both through my wife and a lot of thinking, he said, God, Vlad, I just want you to preach your heart. I always preach from the heart, but today I want to preach my heart. I want to bring before us what God has placed in my heart. And the title of the message is based on that, stepping into greater glory. For many of us, stepping out in faith feels like walking into the unknown, and I know that feeling firsthand. There have been three significant moments in my life when God asked me to step out in faith. And the first one of those moments was when I was 22 years old. So I want to share about these three steps of faith I had to take so far. First step of faith was when God called me to leave Romania. I was 22 and he brought me here to study, a step that meant that I left everything and everyone that was familiar to me. The only ideas I had about UK were from the Chronicles of Narnia, Peter Pan, and Harry Potter. And that was all that I discovered until I landed in Gatwick. It looked slightly different. So when I arrived, it felt like stepping into a new world in every single sense. And I'll never forget this moment on October 3rd, 2012, as I was walking on the grounds of the Bible college I was in. I was praying and I was saying to God, God, are you still the same here as you were back in Romania? Because you see, even back in Romania, I had a very close relation to God, but everything was new. No one knew me. I didn't know anyone, but God asked me to come here in this place. This step of faith wasn't easy, especially because I had no plan B. And as you know, I didn't grow up with my family. I have no place, no home, anywhere. Home is where I always am. This is home. My wife is my home, you are my home. So I had no plan B if things didn't turn out in a way that they would have turned out. I didn't have a home to return in Romania, nor did I have a secure place to stay in England after I graduated. Everyone I knew, apart from four individuals or families, urged me to stay in Romania because it's too risky for me to do something like this. And in a way, they weren't wrong, because the reality was that I didn't have a clear plan, because God hadn't revealed it to me yet. And you know, when you're in the moment, when you try to explain to people that it is God who's speaking and there's no plan B and there's no really like 10 years plan, it's hard for them to believe. And I say, look, I know God called me to do this. I don't know the rest. And years later, though, some of those people who didn't really believe that it was God who was speaking reached out, acknowledging that even though they didn't understand God's call back then, they now see his hand in it. And we're talking 12 years later now, right? So today I speak in their churches, I share in their small groups, and even sit down with their pastors to talk about ministry. And what's more, I've met people here in the UK who have become very close to me and like family to me. And through that decision, God not only opened doors for ministry, but allowed me to meet my wife. Now, I don't know if you know, I met her here in Bromley, of all places. We were in two different places in Romania, very different churches, I almost say different families, family, no family. So we were, like, the way things were going, we would never have met. And even that in itself is a reason to point to the fact that, yeah, it was God back then, And even though I wasn't able to convince many, I knew God is calling me to do this. And because of that, I stand married, for example, today. And looking back, I don't regret that step of faith for a second, because I've seen God's faithfulness every step of the way. When we step out in faith, even without a plan B, God meets us where we are. And it's a reminder that sometimes He asks us to step where we don't fully understand, where we don't have the full picture, to trust Him both for the journey and for the destination. And perhaps, church, God is inviting us to take such a step of faith as we enter this new season of our church, as we step into 2025. The second step of faith. My second major step of faith was when God asked me to leave a secure, financially stable ministry position, a role that I worked hard in over for about 5 years or so and poured my heart into. And I think one of the things that many people don't always know is that that was my dream job. When I was 16 and I was dreaming of becoming a minister and serving God, that role was the job. It was very stable. I had everything I needed. I paid no rent where I was living, and I had a good salary. And for those of you who saw me back then, I was sort of the golden boy around there. Everyone loved me. And because I didn't have too many responsibilities, it was an easy gig, right? Just going back home, I didn't need to worry about what's happening in the church. Then, unexpectedly, God placed a holy burden on my heart to live. But unlike before, He didn't show me what was next or where He was leading me. This time, there wasn't an open door waiting. It was one of the scariest seasons of my life, especially financially. And I remember the anxiety, especially since I was in a relationship with Naomi. We weren't even engaged at the time. And yet, when I shared my heart with her and I told her about what I felt God was asking me to do, she responded with such faith because she truly is a woman of faith. She told me that she also felt the same calling for me and believed that it was God's desire for me to make this decision to leave. So her support, along with that of a few close friends, some of you that are here today, it gave me the strength and the courage to move forward. And during that season, which lasted about 6 months or so, I found myself traveling weekly, speaking in churches across UK, France, Italy, Romania. It was a period where I had to trust God one day at a time, without the security of a steady income or a steady role that would protect me in many ways. And yet God used that season of my life to stretch my faith a lot, and show me that even without the guarantee of an open door, He was still leading me. And finally, after all those months, God confirmed that it was time for me to step into a leading pastoral role. And all I could say to Him is, okay, God, then open doors. And He opened loads and loads of doors. And I share this because I think many of us face times when God calls us to step out of what feels secure. And maybe some of you are in a similar season right now. You're wondering if you can take that next step without knowing what's on the other side. But I believe God is calling us into a season to step into a greater glory as a church, just like in Haggai's time, like we preached. He asks us to take a step of faith, trusting that God will open the right doors at the right time. And this leads me to my third step of faith. The third time God called me to take a major step of faith was when He asked me to say yes to becoming the pastor here at this church. And at first, the decision was not easy. It wasn't easy. God opened, actually, many doors when I asked Him to do that. You know, when you go to a restaurant and on the menu there's so many options, that's how I felt. It's like, what do you recommend, right? That kind of thing. So I had so many offers from different churches, opportunities to serve in churches across 3 different countries, churches that offered financial, stable financial packages, housing, and a warm, welcoming group of people. I was invited to preach in these churches, as in many ways, and I felt like I was walking on this red carpet surrounded by people who kept saying, say yes, say yes, say yes. I felt so bad when at times I said no. And I remember one Sunday after I preached in one of these churches, I called Naomi with tears in my eyes after they treated me so nicely, and I said, I feel God tells me to say no. And I was crying because I was about to say no, which wasn't easy, both because I knew the people, and because they wanted me, and because they were sorting out all the other stuff, finances and house and everything else. And I called Naomi, I said, I feel like God wants me to say no to this. And I did that, and I said no to their generous offer, and instead I said yes to coming here. And let me tell you, there were no red carpets rolled out when I first came, and the financial package wasn't something I wanted to brag about. But I said yes because I believed it was God's will and God's desire. And I now I don't regret the decision for a second, even though it led to the most difficult season of my life. I used to say I cannot go to tougher season than growing up in an orphanage for 17 years. And yet that topped it. Like God has a way of saying, careful what you say, Vlad, because there's some other stuff that come. So in the first couple of years, I faced heartache, depression, and pain like I've never experienced before. And to be honest, there were days when I dreaded coming to church. I dreaded preaching, I dreaded leading, I did not want to stand before this chair because things were just so tough, and I didn't want to admit this. I was walking like, maybe I would have gone to, I don't know, worse places with more joy than I would have gone here. It reminds me of Jesus, who like a lamb before his shearers, he kept quiet. That's how I felt back then. But David reminded me 2 or 3 weeks ago, as we were looking at what God is doing in our church, that things have changed a lot. God has brought life into this church. And today we are stronger than ever. And Vision Church is a living testimony of the promises of God. Promises like, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Promises like, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, says the Lord. And I often say to God, yeah, but they're forming the weapons. They're making them. I say, yeah, but they will not prosper. And that's the promise that God has had for us all this time. God told me to lead this church in such a way that it would be a place where he feels at home, where we attract the presence of God. And over the past few years, we've seen God pour out his presence and his power in this place. We have seen baptisms, weddings, births, and most importantly, transformed lives. And you know your testimonies, how God has worked. We've become a church together, united in faith and in purpose. And through it all, I've had faithful leaders and members who stood by me, becoming my Aaron and Hur, holding my very heavy hands at times, holding me up in my darkest moments. And many of you could have left when things got tough, but you stayed. And I'm deeply, deeply grateful for this. Any success we've experienced in the past few years is because of your faithfulness. I'm grateful for that. Someone asked me this week in a good way, positively, said, Vlad, would you say you're a good pastor? I didn't expect the question because I don't really spend time thinking whether I'm a good pastor or not, to be honest. And I was thinking about this question, and I said, if I'm to answer honest, it's like, depends on who you ask. It depends on when you ask them. But you know, the reality is that I never aim to be a good pastor, but I want to be a faithful pastor. Because that's a bit easier to measure. Because being a faithful pastor is doing what God wants you to do. It's looking at the Word of God, empowered by the Spirit of God, and then do the will of God. It's the same. I don't want to be a good husband. I want to be a faithful. Because if we're faithful, we would be good as well. So I would say with as much humility as I can master now that I am a faithful pastor, even though I am imperfectly faithful. In other words, I've learned to say yes to God and then just cry out to him to make it happen. Like God calls me to do something. I'm like, okay, let's do it, God. And then I find myself in this sea like Peter and drown. I say, Lord, Lord, help me. I thought I'm walking, but I'm drowning. Yet Jesus is always there to pick me up by the hand. As we step into this new season of stepping into greater glory, my prayer is that we will continue to say yes to God together, no matter where he leads us. And just like if you remember Zerubbabel from the book of Haggai, we may face challenges and maybe even discouragements, but God promises that His presence will be with us. He promises that He has chosen us, that He has empowered us to complete the work that He has set before us. So today, we're building something greater than any of us could accomplish or even dreamed of, a church that will reflect God's glory and bring hope into a broken world. Which leads me to my fourth step of faith. It's like, when was that happening? Well, here we are almost 6 years since God called Naomi and myself to lead Vision Church. And now, once again, He's calling us to move forward, not away, forward, okay? But this time, He's not calling me, He's not calling us, He's calling us. And that's a bit scarier, because it's easy for me to say yes to God when only I have to pay the price. Like, cool, I'm used to it, right? I come basically from nothing, I can deal with stuff. But when God calls us as a church into something that it's a greater glory in which we need to step, that for me can be scary. And if you remember, I said a few weeks back that faith feels like fear at times. There's that feeling of, okay, God, what are you about to do? But I have learned to say yes to God. And we need to learn as a church to say yes to Him in faith. That's why today we're talking about stepping into greater glory, because that is the invitation God has for us as we step into this new season. If you remember, we were saying that for 27 years, God has been preparing this church for a moment like this. And over the past 2 years, He has brought the verse from Haggai 2:9 to the forefront of our hearts, right? The latter glory of this house will be greater than the former. And in case you don't remember or you haven't been here, at the beginning of this year as a leadership team, we wanted to see what prophetic words have been spoken over our church, because I received a couple that were similar from Haggai 2:9. And Donald, who was here back then, he said that 27 years ago, God has promised this verse, Haggai 2:9, over the church. It's okay, God is really speaking to us. So the latter glory of this house will be greater than the former. And every time I reflect on this promise, my prayer is like, all right, God, like, go for it. Let's do it. Just make the latter glory of this house greater than the former, and He will. But as we've learned together in our journey through Haggai, God's promise of greater glory isn't something that we just sit back and wait. It's something we step into. God makes the promise, and He wants us to step into those promises. And when we step into greater glory, we must prioritize the building of His temple when we focus our hearts, resources, and lives on His mission, which was really what God was saying to the people in Haggai's times. So today, that's the step of faith that He is calling us to take as Vision Church together. What does stepping into greater glory look like? How can we align with His mission as a church? Well, I'm about to show you a video that we believe this is what God is calling us to. This is the greater glory, or part of it, or the trigger of a greater glory that God has for us. So please watch this video, and then I'm going to come back again. So, maybe. So, right there on the back of the wall, there's more details. And then for everyone here, we're going to send a blueprint of how everything will look. But here's, obviously, there's smaller details, like there's a different brand of drums that we're using. But what we want is to step into this greater glory. And I'll tell you what I feel like God wants us to be as a church. We want to be a church in which believers are equipped, discipled, where the glory of God is tangible, and where we find a spiritual family that loves one another. I believe God has been drawing people who are spiritually strong in our church. And please allow me to tell you what I see when I look at our church. And I've never said this out loud, so judge for yourselves if this is true. I see potential like I don't see in many others. I see a strong church that can't be stopped once it starts to pick up the pace and run the race that God has for her. When I look at us as a church, I see a church filled with potential and strength, like a mighty elephant that doesn't yet realize the power that it has. We are a strong church, but some of us are like that elephant who is unaware of the strength it has and is still held captive by a puny rope. Do you know that image? That puny rope around our legs is fear. And I want to proclaim and declare that in the name of Jesus, no fear will hold Vision Church back and captive as we step into this greater glory that He has for us. Amen. God will bless the church, and the church will bless the community, and the church will bless our town. What an opportunity we have to reach out to even more parents and toddlers and babies through Vision Tots and the space back there that is designed especially for families in our communities. We envision and we want to see youth clubs being held there. Anything that has to do with under-18s and their families, for the church to be a blessing to the community. For example, did you know that Vision Tots has reached to almost 100 parents and children since March, 8 months ago when we first started? This is huge, and it's big. Yeah, and thank you, Debbie and the team, for that. I have the receipts, okay? I'm not exaggerating. I'm going to tell you some numbers that you'll be like, is it true? I'm not like other pastors who are like fishermen who exaggerate their catch, okay? I'm honest. So, for example, when we talk about Vision Tots, I don't know if you saw Debbie's text she sent actually this week, was it? About how joyful she was to see so many children and parents, and we're connecting with the parents. They can, some of them, they're not here today, but they're part of the church even now. And then we're connecting with them, and they're having such a great time. Even on Tuesday, we had the full team of Vision Tots who were there to connect with people, make coffees, and everything else. So I want to say thank you for that. Vision Tots was a huge step of faith for us. Huge. Now it looks normal because it's what we do, but it wasn't when we first even started talking about it. It was met with obstacles right from the get-go, and I was discouraged because it almost didn't happen until I received a message from Debbie on an evening as I was leaving St. Thomas Hospital visiting Chris. I was in the car with his sister, and I get this message from Debbie, and I'm going to read it, but the idea was, Brad, I feel like God is challenging me to step up. Right? You use this word like step up, and we know that part of Debbie's journey was that she found God through a group that is similar to this not many years ago, all those years ago, because you're young, yeah, like Phil, right? And then as Debbie was sending this message, I'm like, you know, you see what God has done to the faithfulness of a daughter of God who just wants to say yes to being a blessing to the community. And I want to say, Debbie, the yes you said to God has brought us into a place where we reached almost 100 children and families together. That's huge. And that's a simple yes to God where we didn't know everything. We changed the days, we changed the teams, and all those sorts of things. A simple yes and a bit of courage from us as a church to invest some finances into that. It made this happen. And as I envision the step back there, it is for the community. It is for us to be a blessing to those that need God, those that are children. And according to statistics, most people in our community are parents that are middle-aged with children 10 and under. Therefore, it makes sense that we create ministries and opportunities that bless them. So as we invest into this space out back, I dream of youth, after-school clubs, and many activities that bless many families and young people. Did you know, for example, that there are many organizations that use our building for their meetings and to support people from all walks of life? Even this week, we had Christians Against Poverty and the Bromley Homeless Shelter meeting with their clients to support them within their journey. We have people from Bromley Homeless Shelter, Bromley Community Links, Churches Together in Bromley Common, other churches, Christians Against Poverty, Hope Into Action, and many others that always use this building on a constant basis, at least every like two times a month, even more at times, because we knew that since God has blessed the church with such an amazing building, situated right in the middle of a community, we don't want to keep it for ourselves. So God, how can we use this and everything that it has to be a blessing to our town? Because right from the start, we knew God calls us to make this building available to the community and to this beautiful town called Bromley. We knew God calls us to place this building into His hands. Why? Because He wants to advance His kingdom in this great town and beyond. Not only that, but as a church, we have been faithful in tithing every time we claimed gift aid and more. some of the things, and I may forget at least, Matt knows way better than me, but we are supporting a child through compassion, and there's a photo of her right there in the, as you go out to the right, and they need to send some updated ones. We are supporting a missionary in Jerusalem, even throughout all this mess, and you know about Stefano. We are contributing to financially to Ukrainian students who come to study at the same Bible college that I've been to, in order for them to discover the call God has for them, to be equipped, and most probably go back into their war-torn country to minister and preach the gospel to those around them. Not to mention the aid we sent when the wars first started, and Phil, even still today, he's still supporting the work that many organizations are doing in Ukraine as well. As a church, a few years back, we supported a mother in Romania who lost her child as she gave birth to him, and for 6 months, we paid the rent for her and her family to help them get back to a place where they're financially stable. And by the way, God blessed her with another daughter, and she called her Naomi. Not because of that, but I'm not saying it's a beautiful name. But see, as a church, we were part of that to relieve people financially for 6 months. Imagine if someone can pay 6 months of rent. That's a huge blessing. And we were able to do this as a church. We have supported churches reaching out to poor people in villages to pay for children of poor families to be brought into camps where they are educated and provided for their families. And again, this is something that we as a church have done over the years. As a church, God has been preparing us to step into greater glory. And he's been working visibly and invisibly, but he's calling us to step into this greater glory. So this building is the house of God, and he calls us, as he did through Haggai, to prioritize it and make it into a house that draws God's glory and that it blesses the community, and it is a hub of all forms of resources, even beyond the country and even abroad. We want to be a church that blesses everyone to fulfill the, and for us to fulfill the Great Commission, which is go to our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to hold the world. And we've done this in different ways over the years, but I believe the time is coming to have even a bigger and greater impact in the world. And yes, I say the world, believe me, God is using us. I believe God has brought each one of us here because he's preparing to do something incredible among us, and it is something greater than anything we've seen before. But to step into this greater glory, he's calling us to take consistent, faithful steps of commitment. So, what I want to ask you is what I've asked in the last few weeks, and Patrick knows it better than me by this point. Be consistent in your gathering, growing, giving, and going. Amen. Gather, grow, give, and go for us to see this vision. That's how we step into this greater glory. Not just actions, but they are the heartbeat of the church that is ready to carry God's glory and step into this greater glory he has for us. So gather. Prioritize the gathering. Make Sunday a priority for you and your family, not just out of obligation, but because gathering with God's people brings blessings, encouragement, and growth. If God brings new people into our church, who's going to welcome them? We need to be like a family expecting guests. Second, grow. So commit to growing spiritually. With our 21 days of prayer and fasting coming up, he sees the opportunity. Pray, be part of Bible study, grow spiritually, because that's how we can become strong in faith and step into what God has for us. We must be intentional about our spiritual development. And as we've always encouraged, read your Bible daily, pray daily, fast weekly, and gather weekly. God is going to do something great when we are gathered. Give. Be faithful and consistent in giving. So, church, stepping into greater glory requires consistent generosity. When we give, we reflect the heart of a generous God. So I want to ask you to consider making tithing and offerings a regular part of your life, trusting that God will use every gift for his kingdom and provide all the needs that you have abundantly. I know it's scary to say yes to God, but he's going to always come through. And then go, right? Go. Invite people into this community. Whether it's a friend, a neighbor, or someone who's never set foot in the church, extend an invitation. Give them the opportunity to say no. Let's at least do that. With Christmas and our community event on December 21st, we have an incredible opportunity to reach out. Imagine what would happen if every one of us would invite at least one friend. we will be over capacity in an instant. It's as easy as that. And if we want to invite people, we're going to reach out to many. We're talking about 400 people that we have reached out to over the last couple of years, three events at Christmas, that they're already part of our database, that they want us to contact them to invite them to future events. So we're talking potentially of hundreds of people who will be here on the 21st of December and 22nd. And as great as you may think I am, or good pastor, I cannot look after everyone. That's why together we need to go, we need to step into serving and helping the community to find the same Jesus that we love. So we really need you. We really need you. We need you, and God needs us to step into greater glory. Imagine for a moment a church that consistently gathers, grows, gives, and goes. That's a church that cannot be held back. That's the elephant that just does this and then walks. I promise you, there's nothing that can hold us back. Apart from this, fear. You are the elephant. You are strong. No lion can defeat you. You are strong as a church. I see that. And sometimes I'm frustrated because I'm like, well, there's an elephant and there's this little mouse barking. And it's like, just kick it. No weapon formed against us shall prosper, says the Lord. So we need to take this step together. And we have a vision to see this building and this community transformed, a place where God's glory is evident, where every ministry, every meeting, every outreach bears fruit that extends beyond these walls that will be even more beautiful. So let's take this step together. Let's believe that the latter glory of this house will be greater than the former. And this is our moment to step into God's promise, not just for ourselves, but for our community and for even generations to come. I want to encourage you. Let's say yes together to God. So I want to conclude these four promises, and T, you can join me there if you want. I want to promise, which is basically, they're very short. As we preach four times throughout Haggai, and this, the book of Haggai and Haggai 2:9 is what drives this vision, really. And God has been waiting for 27 years for us to do something about it. There are four promises that are present throughout the four sermons I preached in Haggai. And these are these ones. And that what I did, I wrote them as from God to us. Okay? So this is the first one. God says, prioritize my house and I will bless yours. Build my house and I'll bless yours. Bless my house and I'll build yours. And I think this is the first promise we talked about. As I feel like God is saying, church, as you step into this new season, I call you to place my kingdom first. Just as I have called people through Haggai to rebuild the temple, I call you to make my house and my mission your priority. Let the work of my church be the focus of your hearts, of your energy, and of your commitment. When you prioritize my house, I will bless yours. I will supply your needs and you'll find peace and provision in every aspect of your lives. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the other things that you may worry about and fear will be added and given to you. Second, do not be discouraged, for I am with you, says the Lord. As you continue to build, some of you may feel discouraged, comparing the work now to past successes, or even wondering if it's enough. Just as I have encouraged Zerubbabel and the people, I tell you today, do not be disheartened, for I am with you. My presence is the source of your strength, and it's greater than any challenge you can face. My presence will fill this place. The glory you will experience will surpass anything that has been before, as I pour out my spirit in even greater measure. The latter glory of this house will be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. Thirdly, walk in holiness and I will prosper the work of your hands. Church, I'm calling you to live lives set apart, to pursue holiness in your hearts as you build my kingdom. To work, the work you must do must be accompanied by pure hearts.